Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Monday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the American Pastors Network radio network. It's a delight to have you with us today as we begin another week of discussion, another week of talk, another week of information right here from the American Pastors Network program called Stand in the Gap Today. And, of course, along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl. We are delighted to have you with us today. Today in the program, we are going to be having, during the second and the third segments of the program, Mr. J.R. McGee. He's been on the program before. He's the principal owner of Extreme Leadership Group, which is a strategic consulting firm located in southeastern Pennsylvania. He has consulted with or worked for companies within the military defense arena, holds top-level clearances within the United States federal government. His area of expertise includes the area of the geopolitical events, military preparedness, national intelligence operations, and a whole lot more, including has a great grip on biblical prophecy. So we're going to be having him with us throughout the second and the third segments, and we'll look forward to his visit with us today, and we would encourage you to stay tuned. I do want to remind you just briefly that yesterday was what was referred to as the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians, sponsored by the Voice of the Martyrs. And we don't want to spend a lot of time on it today, but many times here in the United States of America, where we live, we fail to realize that there are many Christians around the world who really are under persecution, and we need to pray for them. Of course, we've talked before about it on our program, how it is true that even here in the United States of America, there have been Christians who have been persecuted for their faith. Such is the case of Joe Kennedy that we've been talking about, who basically has been put on administrative leave from the school district in which he works out there in Washington simply because of the fact that he wanted to pray out on the 50-yard line of the football field before or after a game. These, of course, are various ways, various areas of persecution upon Christians. And it's becoming more and more prevalent even here in the United States of America. So we do want to encourage you to pray for the persecuted Christians around the world particularly. They certainly do need our prayers. Well, there's a lot going on in the world today, and we are delighted to come to you with some of those things. Sam, it appears as though Mr. Bill Gates, who, of course, we all know is the founder of Microsoft, and he's out there doing a whole lot of things that he calls humanitarian efforts and so forth and so on. But he has come up with the idea that it could very well be possible that it's only socialism that can save the planet, that capitalism does not have the capability or the ability to get us on the right track as it relates to a number of different things, particularly relative to climate change. What is Mr. Gates up to these days?
Well, you know, Gary, I think it's interesting that you brought that up because I think it's on top line news. I thought it was worthy for us to, you know, be able to discuss here a little bit. But, you know, people know Bill Gates because he goes under the name, and most people ascribe him to be the richest man in the world. So he has a great deal of influence. He has a great deal of money. But his recent comment that's given this headline news is that he says capitalism cannot save us from climate change. In his exact words, he says that the private sector is too selfish and inefficient to produce effective energy alternatives to fossil fuels. And so he's laying out this basis that he says that he's going to spend $2 billion of his own money in order to help promote this thing that by 2050 we're not burning any fossil fuels. Now, Gary and Dave, I mean, there's a couple things about this. Number one, he says capitalism cannot save us. I look at that and I say, one thought, well, yeah, he understands that the world's in trouble. I don't agree with him that it's climate change, it's the trouble. But I do agree that capitalism can't save the world. It's only Christ that can save the world. I'll go there. But his other thing is that capitalism, he's poking at capitalism, saying that socialism can, which means big government is needed in order to put limitations on the burning of fossil fuel, which is exactly what the United Nations is talking about, which is exactly what the Pope, when the Pope went to the United Nations back in September, that's what he talked about. So there is a major, major push for world government to be involved in, and what he's talking about and recommending here, and what the United Nations talking about and the Pope talked about, is really a world tax. They want to impose a world tax on the burning of fossil fuels to fight this supposed fictitious thing out there called climate change. There's a lot of problems with this. I know that Dave's probably wanting to comment on it, but I think it's worthy of commenting here on this program because it flies in the face of fundamental free enterprise, capitalism, the biblical view, I think, as well as raising the specter out here that that the socialism is this great savior of the world.
Well, it's an interesting thing to observe, and you know, our producer here at the radio station says Bill Gates? Question mark. You mean the guy who made capital gain with Microsoft? That's a pretty good observation, Dave.
Exactly.
Well, Gary, it was going to be my point exactly, and Russ hit the nail on the head. The guy who has been the ultimate benefactor of capitalism is now suggesting that socialism is the answer to the world's ills. That's beyond fascinating.
Well, it's amazing, and of course you wonder where some of these guys get their ideas from, but it is at least something to watch. We want to bring something up very quickly here, too, that I want to defer to you, Dave, about, and that has to do with some information that's hitting the news relative to Chick-fil-A. Dave?
Well, Gary, very quickly, let me just share this. And again, we want to be very, very cautious here because some of this is still developing. But what is known is this. About a month ago, or soon will be, about 3 weeks ago, October 9th and 10th, there was an event called Level Ground, which is an attempt to kind of draw together the evangelical Christian community and the LGBT community to try to have a dialogue between the two communities, which, Gary, in my opinion, and I think yours and Sam's, is a very, very dangerous thing because of if you go to the website of Level Ground and you read their mission statement, it's very, very disconcerting as to what their goals are. None of us would be in favor of those goals for sure. But anyway, there was a Chick-fil-A logo on the website of this Level Ground entity as being a sponsor of this event. Well, of course, the question came up, was it the corporate level, you know, at Chick-fil-A that sponsored that? From what we're able to ascertain up to this point, it appears that it was not a corporate decision to sponsor this event, but rather a local Chick-fil-A owner operator that chose to do that. And Gary, I used to work for Chick-fil-A. Sam, you may know this as well. I managed one of their stores in Greenville, South Carolina during my college days. And I will tell you this, gentlemen, they were unequivocal in this, that you did not violate corporate policy. If you did, it could cost you your franchise. In fact, there's an example of that I'll not go into. But we just want to keep our eyes on this. Is it a softening in any way of Chick-fil-A's stance toward this? That is not yet known. But this is out there, and as we know more, we'll keep our audience updated, of course.
Absolutely. And we're not saying don't go to Chick-fil-A, but this is just something that we will be watching, and we will keep you informed as well. Well, when we come back, we'll be having with us Mr. J.R. McGee, as I mentioned at the early part of this particular segment, so you won't want to go away. Some very interesting information and discussions coming along on today's edition of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On this day, November 1st, 1800, John Adams became the first U.S. president to move into the White House. The following day, he wrote a letter to his wife, Abigail, in which he composed a beautiful prayer. A portion of that prayer was inscribed on the mantelpiece in the state dining room by President Franklin D. Roosevelt. It reads, "I pray heaven to bestow the best of blessings on this house and all that shall hereafter inhabit it." President Adams ended his prayer with the words, "May none but honest and wise men ever rule under this roof."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Last week, the PFI team and some great volunteers fanned out throughout the Pennsylvania Capitol building here in Harrisburg to hand-deliver thousands of petitions signed by pro-life citizens all across Pennsylvania, calling for a full investigation of Planned Parenthood and an end to taxpayer funding of that abortion giant. Turns out the timing of our delivery was significant. News reports last week show that Planned Parenthood tipped off Governor Tom Wolf to the scandalous videos that exposed their body parts selling scheme, and they even provided the governor with talking points to deflect criticism of Planned Parenthood. This news is all the more reason to keep up the pressure to fully investigate Planned Parenthood and to never again give them a penny of taxpayer money. Find out more at our website at pafamily.org.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family, preserve the future. You can follow Michael Gear online at Twitter and Facebook or stay up to date on our website at pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to encourage you on a regular basis to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, because at that particular location, you can correspond with us. You can send us a note, and if you do that, we will get back to you. We would appreciate it very much if you would utilize that from time to time so that we might be able to have input from you about the program or anything relative to what's going on in your world today. by which we might be able to give some help or direction or advice or whatever the case may be. Also, at that particular website, you are able to listen to the program in the event that you might be away from your particular radio station. You can go to www.standinthegapradio.com, and there's a link there for our anchor station, which is WFYL in the Philadelphia area. And so you can really listen to us no matter where you might be, across the nation or around the world. Well, we are delighted to have with us once again back on Stand in the Gap today, Mr. J.R. McGee. Sam, why don't you reintroduce Brother McGee to our listening audience today?
I'm glad to do that. And J.R. is our go-to military geopolitical expert. I think, as all of you who've listened to him before, knows that his knowledge of very real specifics is very keen, and so we're going to talk to him today. JR, I want to welcome you on here with us today, but we're going to go to the Middle East, and JR, I would like to, on this program here right now, to try to unpack a little bit what's really happening in the Middle East relative to Russia, their propaganda war, which I think is underway with the United States, and the fact that Russia, in their propaganda, and it may be truth, I want you to unpack that truth versus error, is really saying that they are there to wipe out ISIS because they are against terrorism, and they're going to come in and help do what the United States has obviously been unable to do in the last 2 years. And in fact, most would agree, in 2 weeks' time, they've brought more devastation to ISIS than what the United States has done to ISIS in about 2 years. And it seems extraordinarily confusing to the American people. So I'd like to go into this first part of this question and ask you this, J.R. McGee, this question. Russia comes into Syria based on President Assad's request, ostensibly to help Assad put down his opposition, which is primarily ISIS. Putin comes and he says, I will do it, and I'm going to help destroy terrorism in the Middle East because the United States has not. Putin says to the United States, I come to help you, United States. And matter of fact, why don't you help me, Russia? Why don't we together work to eliminate ISIS? But the United States doesn't want to work with Russia. And so Russia comes back and says, the reason you don't want to work with us is because you are complicit with ISIS, and you don't really want to get rid of ISIS because they're your proxies in the Middle East. Now, is Putin right?
Well, Sam, it's a pleasure to be back on and an honor to speak with you and your listeners with us today, and you're exactly correct. This is horribly confusing, even for those of us who are paying a lot of attention at the moment. But what's actually going on is Russia is mostly there in Syria, in my opinion, to help Iran. Iran has been, for quite some time now, fostering a proxy in Syria and was helping them militarily, politically, and financially. And Iran got into a great deal of trouble with Syria and lost several of her generals and a large number of her military. In my opinion, Russia is in Syria today far more to help Iran than any other activity. Fighting ISIS gives them a tremendous leverage and a wedge to go in there and do this. It legitimizes their operations in some degree. And frankly, Putin has got a great deal of information and data that helps him understand that this is his golden opportunity to establish himself and his country as the protector of the Middle East. If you go back and look at history, recent history, when Obama drew the red line in the sand over the chemical warheads and then did absolutely nothing, and then John Kerry actually invited Russia to come in and help resolve that, and we spent 60 years and trillions of dollars of taxpayer money to try to keep Russia out of the Middle East, and now we've invited Russia in twice and legitimize their presence where we've been trying desperately to keep them out for quite some time. And then if you look at in Libya, our complete failure to provide any kind of support, or protection for the government after Gaddafi failed, which directly led to the devastation of our embassy in Benghazi, the murder of our ambassador, the death of two special forces operators and an Air Force intelligence officer. Then we completely failed to support the Iranians in the Green Movement when the youth of Iran wanted to rise up and overthrow the Ayatollahs and the Khomeini government. Then Russia was paying very close attention when we negotiated the Iranian P5+1 nuclear deal. And they watched us unilaterally disarm. In fact, that negotiation, that treaty, apparently has disarmed the United States far more effectively than it's going to disarm Iran. And then you look at our inability to provide protection to al-Maliki's government in Iraq from ISIS and the effectiveness that ISIS had there. In effect, what we have done is we've trained and notified our allies and our friends in the Middle East that the United States is no longer able or willing to provide the protection and the support that we've provided in the past. And
JR,
not only
this is
a poor vacuum, but politics clearly abhors a vacuum.
JR, this is extraordinarily critical, and I hope our listeners are paying attention here. I know Dave's got a question. I want to go to one more part. Let me go back to ISIS and this accusation from Russia that the United States has been, to some degree, at least complicit in, or at least working with ISIS or some of its subgroups, because even that is a confusing thing. Who's really a part of ISIS? It seems like we've been working on both sides of that fence. But from your perspective, the charge that the United States has actually worked with, perhaps maybe not created ISIS directly, but it helped to cultivate the conditions out of which ISIS has come so as to fight a proxy war there in the Middle East without having U.S. troops per se on the ground. Is there veracity to that claim?
There's a lot of discussion over that, and I can easily understand why someone would come to that conclusion. You have to look back at the history of how ISIS came into being. It actually began in 2002 when Abu al-Masab Zakari, who was a Jordanian and the third most wanted person by the U.S. military after Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, put together al-Qaeda in Iraq. That in 2006 morphed into another ISI, which was the actual genesis of what we see as ISIS now. And I don't believe that the United States has formed ISIS. I don't believe that we have supported ISIS. I do think that we've had several opportunities since 2002 to completely eradicate ISIS, and we have not. And I think we've also trained and armed a large number of people who have then defected to ISIS, which has provided them with trained, equipped people, which has strengthened them. It's our inactions, the mistakes we've made on the ground, and our poor decisions that have allowed ISIS to metastasize into what it is today.
JR, this is Dave, and I want to just pick up on what Sam just asked you. Obviously, there appears to be some degree, America appears to be complicit with ISIS. The president's terminology with respect to them was degrade, and then he added a second word, degrade and destroy, neither of which he really seems to be willing to invest what needs to be invested to make that actually a reality. So. When you couple all of that together with what we've not done in these other locations that you cited earlier, what does that say about the current administration, where their loyalties lie, and what this administration is really trying to do in the Middle East?
You know, that's the $64,000 question, and it's clear to me that in every single situation that we just talked about and that has occurred over the last 2 years, the Obama administration has clearly come down in support of the Muslim Brotherhood and all of the organizations that the Muslim Brotherhood has spun off and supported and financially developed. That's, you look at what we did in Egypt when we failed to support Abdel Fattah Sisi over the Muslim Brotherhood. In fact, Obama tried to have Sisi moved out of the presidency and have the Brotherhood reinstated. All of those activities can only lead one to believe that we have a national policy now of supporting the Brotherhood and their organizations over our traditional allies and friends.
And if indeed that is the case, we are in severe trouble in the United States of America, JR. And, of course, you know, over the years, we've traced it here through our particular radio program. And if it shared with our audience how strong the Muslim Brotherhood is and how many grips, how many finger holds it has in the United States government. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue our discussion. Stay tuned.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. President Obama signs a two-year bipartisan budget deal.
A budget that reflects our values, that grows our economy, creates jobs, keeps America safe. It's going to strengthen the middle class by investing in critical areas like education and job training, basic research.
Some Republicans, though, criticizing that budget over spending increases. Director of National Intelligence James Clapper saying ISIS militants did not shoot down a Russian jet flying over Egypt on Saturday, killing over 200 on board.
Clapper's comments come as an official with Metrojet claims technical problems where pilot error could not have caused the crash, adding an external impact on the plane is to blame. The head of Russia's Federal Aviation Agency has criticized Metrojet for pointing to the cause of the crash.
Fox's Jessica Gallagher in Jerusalem. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYL.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. And we are talking with J.R. McGee, knows a lot about the Middle East, knows a lot about ISIS, knows a lot about prophecy. And we are talking about all of that here today in the program. And Dave Kistler, I want to go back to you with a follow-up question on the previous question that you asked J.R.
Thank you, Gary. Before we went into the break, JR, you were commenting that at every turn it appears that the Obama administration has made decisions that are very, very favorable to the Muslim Brotherhood, in fact, supportive of the Muslim Brotherhood. My question to you, JR, is this. Why is the Obama administration doing this? I mean, what could possibly be the motivation behind making decision after decision after repetitive decision that is supportive of the Muslim Brotherhood, and yet the Muslim Brotherhood is intent. I mean, it is their stated intent to destroy the United States of America, bring down the West. Why would the president be so supportive of this horrifically evil entity?
There's a lot of different people who have a lot of different opinions on what the answer to that question is. And I would tell you that in the world of intelligence and in the world of analysis, the one thing that you can very seldom do is completely definitize exactly why somebody thinks the way they do, or even sometimes explain why they do the things that they do. I would ascribe it to an honest belief on the part of Obama and some of his key leaders that if America unilaterally disarms, if we renounce the aggressor role from that perspective, that the other side, the opposition, will no longer feel threatened, and they will embrace the dialogue between the two parties. I honestly think that that's both delusional, and I think that it is already proven to be a failed strategy. We've weakened ourselves terribly through implementing some of these decisions, and there are still people in the administration who believe it's not working simply because we haven't taken it far enough yet. It is a highly destructive strategy. It's one that if we're wrong, in order for them to prove that it's wrong, we're going to have to be too weakened to be able to respond. And I think that there's a tipping point that is either approaching or that we're currently at in terms of our ability to defend ourselves and, frankly, to defend our allies and to allow them to be convinced that we have their best interests at heart as well. A lot of them, especially the Egyptians and the Saudi Arabians right now, as well as the Jordanians, are looking at themselves and asking, what can we depend on here? How can we maintain our own security in the face of such a drastic change in position? And there's not a lot of good answers in that. I think that the one reason Putin is being so successful, and I absolutely agree with your opening statement, they have been more successful in putting ISIS back on their heels in 3 weeks than the United States has in three years. And I think that the big issue for that is that the Russians don't deal in political correctness. They frankly don't care what you think about are they saying the right things? Are they doing the right things? Are they bombing the right targets? Putin's got a strategy that they win and their opposition loses. Ronald Reagan had the exact same strategy, and we saw how effective that was, and we're seeing that strategy play out again in the Middle East. I certainly wish that we had that strategy. We used to have that strategy. That strategy works. I don't think that police actions work in the face of opponents who are dedicated to the proposition that the only thing that will satisfy them is our death.
JR, I'm going to come back in on this, and thanks for asking that question, Dave, because I think it really zeroes in what's really happening there. You're talking about major geopolitical changes here. We're talking about the exit of the United States. We're talking about moving in of Russia. Let's look at the factions that are now in place. Right now, it's really the United States, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey to some extent, really that are really the opposition more or less to Russia. They're primarily Sunni. Russia, though, as you said, connected to Iran, Syria, having now alignments really with Egypt, Libya, Sudan. The prime minister, I think, or somebody in Afghanistan has asked for help. Iraq prime minister has asked Russia to come in. And now in the elections over the weekend in Turkey, Erdogan, who has consolidated his power, he's now given the green card, the green light to go ahead and pull together major military things up there. JR, under this failed policy that's going forward, do you see a scenario where Turkey actually moves over with Russia. And Saudi Arabia has no place to go, and so it goes where the power is. And the United States is the total odd man out of the Middle East altogether.
I not only see that as a possibility, I see it happening before our very eyes. In the Middle East, for centuries, they followed a strategy of what they call the strong horse. They will rapidly switch sides to the side that they feel is winning. And right now, Putin and the Russians are demonstrating far more strength, far more success, far more political acuity in handling these situations than the United States has shown. They view us, and that's kind of a generic term, and I hate to speak generically, but sometimes there's no other option. The majority of the individuals in the Middle East in power right now see the United States is being unreliable and incapable of providing a quick solution to this the way we have for so many years. And Russia has very much become the strong horse. I think Turkey, through the actions of NATO and the European Union, have pushed Turkey to the point to where they feel like they've got very few options in order to be respected than to join Russia. And I think you will see Turkey join the Russian alliance in the very near future now that Erdogan has won this new election. I think that's exactly where Erdogan sees his future lying, is in a relationship with the Soviet Union, because they will accept him with open arms and treat him with respect, which is what he and the Turkish people have been desiring now for several years.
JR, I know we've got just a couple of minutes left, and we want to talk about the shooting down of this airliner over in the Egyptian desert there. But I want to ask you this. Sam laid out a scenario, and he connected nations that are Sunni versus those that are Shiite, and where the support of the United States falls in that. Is the fact that our president, and I'm going to put you a little bit out on a limb here, does the fact that our president comes from a Sunni Muslim background, in your mind, factor into this at all?
I think it does, but then it's countered by the fact that Valerie Jarrett was born in Iran, and Hillary Clinton's chief advisor and right-hand person is also Iranian-born. So there are some significant Shia Muslims that are in very, very high positions of power all through our government. You would think that most of our traditional allies had been Sunni, but I think that what we're seeing is a structural realignment from America's point of view in trying to become more of a player in the Shia world. And that's what's leading to a lot of this confusion and a lot of the uncertainty in the Middle East in terms of exactly what's going on and whose side is who on.
That's an amazing question, Dave, and JR, quite a response. I mean, you talk about confused, yet at the same time, you can actually see where things are going, as you said. Turkey realigning to Russia, Saudi Arabia saying, can I count the United States anymore, and may go that way. You got the entire Middle East falling down before the Russian bear, which is it's an amazing thing. Talking about the Russian bear, the Russian airliner, all the folks listening understand that a Russian airliner went down over the Egyptian Sinai. ISIS immediately took credit for shooting it down. There's a lot of discussion right now going out on the news about the fact whether or not they did or they did not. Russia is not saying quite so clearly what it is, but if ISIS did it, do they have the technology to do it? Some are saying that they got technology from somewhere else, but there may be another answer. JR, you've looked at some of the footage on that. What do you think actually brought down that Russian airliner?
Well, you know, my background, this is probably the strongest area of expertise that I have, because I was both program manager for several of the training ranges for training Air Force and military pilots, and I used to be the lead engineer on the team that reverse engineered the equipment that we borrowed from the Soviet Union. I know we didn't steal it. We're going to give it back at some point. But I looked at the video. I did not see a contrail. Most of the surface-to-air missile systems are going to leave some type of a contrail. I also didn't have a lot of confidence that the video that ISIS put out was accurate or real. Now, I don't have anything to back that up. Just a few minutes of visual observations. I played the video a half dozen times and looked at it. If you look at the data, there has been some data that's been released from the Flight Data Reporter. The plane accelerated up 3,000 feet, down 3,000 feet twice. That is consistent with something happening in the tail of the airplane that affects the horizontal stabilizers.
I'm going to have to jump right in here, JR, for just a moment because we are just about out of time for this segment. But I'm wondering, can you stay on for the next segment to continue to answer this question and other questions that we have?
I certainly can, sir.
Okay, we would appreciate that very, very much. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue our discussion here today with JR McGee. We'll be back right after these messages.
Blessed is a man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, online at thelifegroup.org. For nearly 40 years, we have worked with believers and especially widows across the nation. We all need wisdom as it relates to our finances, taxes, and estate planning, but no one more than the widow who must manage on her own. We are financial advisors committed to a biblical worldview. We assist with your income taxes and give advice to help keep your taxes low. We also carefully invest your money to provide a comfortable retirement income, and we work closely with Christian attorneys to draft a believer's will and powers of attorney. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800, or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
The Apostle Paul proclaimed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we must not be sorrowful and without hope like those around us when friends and family who die in Christ go to live with Him in glory. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. In fact, we should not only not sorrow like others who have no hope, we should look forward with great anticipation to the rapture of the church when Christ Himself will descend in the clouds and all those who know Jesus Christ as Savior will hear the unmistakable sound of the archangel's trumpet. Then in that glorious moment, in a twinkling of an eye, all those who having died in Christ will be raised from the graves, and we who are alive will meet our loved ones in the air with our Lord, and together will live with Him forever and ever. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying, now this is real biblical hope and change that you can count on. Do you have that living hope?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we are delighted that you are there for our discussion with J.R. McGee. And J.R., before we went into the break, you were talking about your theory concerning what happened to that Russian airliner that crashed over in the on the Sinai Peninsula in Egypt. And, you know, it's interesting to note that the reports are coming out and saying that it broke apart at a high altitude. And throughout the course of the morning, they've also been saying through the various news releases that it appears as though there was some sort of an external impact that has caused this particular plane to come down. Now, you were explaining your theory about what brought this plane down before we went into the break. Why don't you continue, sir?
Thank you. The there's really three theories, three opportunities for this to have occurred: an external missile strike, an internal bomb, and/or a catastrophic failure of one of the mechanical structures. Several years ago, this particular aircraft had a tail strike. The nose of the aircraft was too high when it came into land. The tail of the aircraft struck the runway first and resulted in fairly substantial damage to this aircraft that was repaired. If there is a rear of the fuselage where people are sitting, there's a dome that seals that fuselage that allows the internal part of the aircraft to be pressurized. If that rear dome seal catastrophically failed, it would result in explosive decompression, which could break the aircraft apart, as was reported. It would be like a small bomb going off in the aircraft. And on one hand, had some type of damage from that earlier aircraft accident weakened that or allowed it to corrode, that could absolutely cause that rear dome seal to blow up. That happened on a Japanese airliner some years ago on a 747. That rear dome seal catastrophically failed, resulting in the loss of a 747. So it's not unheard of for that to occur. Had there been a bomb placed on board the aircraft, it would result in a very similar situation. Some of the data that I've seen, and it's unverified, I'm having to go with what I've just seen. I watched the video, and I looked at some of flight data recorder information has been released. In the last few seconds of the aircraft's flight, it climbed 3,000 feet, then dove 3,000 feet, then it climbed once again very sharply and then dove, and then the aircraft slowed to 70 miles an hour, at which point it stalled, simply fell out of the air. That would be consistent to something happening to the rear of the aircraft, specifically around those horizontal stabilators that control the pitch of the airplane up and down. Something occurred. Now, the video that I watched showed the black smoke. There was no contrail that went up to the aircraft like you would see for most surface-to-air missile systems. And for most surface-to-air missile systems, the impact explosion would be white, light gray, or yellow. The smoke in that video was jet black. That's not typical for a surface-to-air missile explosive warhead. So you pays your money and you takes your chances when you're making assumptions this early into this with so little information. It's going to take weeks for them to reconstruct all of the aircraft debris that has landed over several square miles of the Sinai Peninsula to determine conclusively what occurred to this aircraft. What I will tell you is if ISIS was responsible for bringing this aircraft down, all they have to do is look at what happened to the Chechens when the Chechens hijacked a school and most of the teachers and many of the children were killed in the rescue attempt.
the Russians sent Spetsnaz troops after all of those terrorists to kill them, kill their families, kill their parents, kill their extended families. If they are responsible for this, Russia will not play by the same rules as the United States does and be nice. Russia will go after them with a vengeance. If they think that Russia has hurt them in the last few weeks, if it's found that ISIS is responsible for the downing of this civilian jetliner, I think it's going to become very difficult for ISIS in the future.
JR, I think that's most interesting because ISIS, I think, knows that. I think ISIS in the Middle East, don't you agree also that what's happening, they know that now Russia is playing by a different set of rules? A little bit strange that ISIS would step forth immediately and take credit for it?
I think it is, but I also think that ISIS is feeling the real pain from this, and they want to do something to put the Russians back on their heels. But I think that they have seriously underestimated the Russian response to this. The very fact that they claim credit for it gives Putin and the Russian Special Forces permission to go after them even harder, and they will.
You know, it's interesting to note, J.R., as we've been tracing this whole matter with ISIS over the past couple of years, that it started out that our President Obama referred to them as JV, and then, of course, we've been watching them grow and become more active. My question to you is, what do you think the ISIS force really is all across not just the Middle East, but around the world and even here in the United States of America?
They are an eclectic combination of some of the most fanatical of the Muslims and the Islamists. They believe in the strictest interpretation of the Quran. They absolutely believe in the establishment of the caliphate, and they believe in very strict interpretations of Sharia law. They honestly believe that the only way to usher in the Mahdi, which is the 12th Imam, is through conflict and war, and they believe that their actions right now are both necessary and needed for the return of the 12th Mahdi. They honestly believe that they are following the truest form of Islam. They are Islam. And for everyone to say that they don't represent Islam is actually really, I believe, a failure to understand the Quran. They actually are following the Quran the most closely of any of the sects, and they're the most fervent believers.
JR, we got about 1 minute left. I want to ask you one quick question. Al-Qaeda just came out and has just said attack the U.S. If you got Al-Qaeda, is Al-Qaeda connected with ISIS? What's the connection, and what's the connection between the two of them and the Muslim Brotherhood?
They were affiliated up until about 2006. In 2006, the Zaqawi formed ISI. Al-Qaeda denounced them at that point, and they have continued to denounce them. They denounced them again in 2014. But Al-Qaeda is trying to prove their relevance in the struggle, and they're trying to use some of this to secure recruits back to their cause. I think that they want to use some of this. They see the weakness in the water, and they want to use this to strengthen themselves and attack as well.
J.R. McGee, we want to thank you very, very much for being with us today, and you certainly do have a lot of insight, a lot of expertise, and we appreciate you sharing with us today on Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. Perhaps you can be back with us with some more information, particularly as we watch the growth of ISIS and maybe even as it's related to what's going on with this crashed jetliner. So thank you for being with us. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for being with us today. The Lord willing, we will be back with you again tomorrow. Until then, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up. Remember, the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.